I wear camouflage and an American flag, and I don't like to fight, but you know.
All right, well, hey, welcome back. Welcome to episode 2 of the Veterans Lighthouse Ministry podcast. Thank you for being here with us today. This is Matt Childers. I'm joined by Kyle Huffman.
Hello, I'm Kyle.
What's up, buddy? all right, well, let's get started. So, first, we just want to thank you for giving us another chance. So, if you listened to last week, congratulations. You're part of our original pilot group, so thank you, and yeah. Thank you for coming back. So, this week, the title of this episode is Veteran Enough, and we're going to be working through that in a few different ways. But to kick us off, we're going to start with a segment. We haven't quite came up with a name for it yet, but basically like current events in the world of veterans. So Kyle, last night I sent you an article that was in the Charleston Gazette here about what's going on with veterans in the state of West Virginia. So did you have a chance to check that out?
Yeah, a little bit. It seems as though more and more people are realizing the struggles of veterans, or at least that there is a problem with veterans as far as mental health. And so it seems as though there's some politicians getting involved. I think I read where Trump passed something about mental health, an executive order helping veterans. And then now we have some West Virginia politicians as well getting involved in that. And the good news about that is it seems as though it's working on both sides of the aisle. So politically speaking, everybody seems to be for it, at least in the public arena. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And we kind of shed some light into this when we talked last week about why we wanted to do this. But if anyone's listening outside of West Virginia, which from our map that we were able to pull up, we can see that some of you are. So thank you. West Virginia is very veteran populated. So veteran suicide has a bigger impact on West Virginia than many of the other states around us. A lot of that could be socioeconomically driven, that the military is kind of a great way for West Virginians to get a career skill and to get sometimes to get out of West Virginia and come back with some new training.
Yep. I think the travel aspect of the military draws a lot of people from West Virginia. I mean, we love our home state. A lot of people just want to see different parts of the world. And especially now, I think it's apparent that there's a lot other work opportunity, you know, outside the state, and so the military is just another avenue to go different places. So
absolutely, and I think obviously patriotism runs high in West Virginia, but something that just was hard hitting from this article to me is, well, one, to Kyle's point, is that it's really cool to see that Senator Manchin is kind of introducing this bill, which is one of our senators from West Virginia and really leading the charge on this. So but he has good reason to. So between 2000 and 2015, 1,049 West Virginia veterans committed suicide. That was 21% of the entire state's suicides.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah.
The stat that Manchin gave in his article was that 20 to 22 veterans a day take their life. But a stat that was kind of staggering to me was that of those 20, only 6 have received VA care. So 14 of those 20 have not had any kind of care from the VA healthcare system. And that's staggering to really think about.
Yeah, and if nothing else, like, is taken away from our podcast today, we want to encourage you, if you're a vet out there that's struggling, go to the VA and receive some care. Start that process. You know, we don't anticipate that all of your issues are going to be solved by one visit to the VA. As a matter of fact, you might be even more frustrated after going there. But we want to take that statistic seriously, and we want to encourage you that if those six that receive the care, if it's that small of a number, then there must be something that was received in the rest of those numbers, or that could have been received, rather, that could do something. So we really just want to take this time to encourage anybody out there who's never received that VA care to at least go in and see what they can do for you.
And I'll be completely honest with you. The VA is oftentimes a joke between veterans of, you know, like, I myself have said to someone who said, I want government health care, and say, really, go to the VA and then tell me if you still want it, right? Like, it's a joke almost to us sometimes that, but it's almost one of those things that we just like to complain about, too. Yeah. So at the end of the day, though, you have a group of people who have dedicated their lives to taking care of us as veterans. And while, yes, it's government run, and yes, there are red tape and bureaucracy involved, at the end of the day, though, it's still a service that is, it's a way our country is thanking us for what we did.
Yeah.
And to not take advantage of that is our own fault. Now, the government has definitely seen that veterans don't take that much advantage of it, and they're working to give us the option to go to other healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. But at anything, guys, trust us when we say, go get help, right? Talk to somebody, start the conversation, at least see what it's like.
Yeah, and I think you're right when you talk about the people that work there. Regardless, it's just like the people who make up the military force, by and large, aren't huge, big government people.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone. I know that there's a spectrum out there, but I would say that a similar thing applies to people who work in the VA. I mean, I just know the story of Chris Kyle and how he was working with the VA before his untimely death, but that's the kind of people I think you find more than not are people that care about veterans and veterans issues, or are veterans themselves, mm-hmm. but they're just in an organization that is run by the government that maybe isn't as efficient, or it doesn't run as smooth as we would all hope.
Right.
But there's good people there.
Right, absolutely. We always, I know in the Army, we didn't make the orders, we just followed them. So it's kind of what the VA, the workers there are against, right? They don't make all the rules and the policies. They just try and treat us the best they can within it. So, again, you can find that article in the Charleston Gazette. It ran last week. So very interesting article about some things happening here in West Virginia. So we're going to try to make this a weekly segment where we look at, could be local, could be national, could be international, just something going on in the world of veterans to give you a different jumping off point, something to take a look at. So. Yeah. We'll wrap that segment up and move on. So, like we said, we want to focus on being veteran enough. So that's an interesting term. You know, Kyle, when I say, like, are you veteran enough, what do you think that kind of means to you?
It sounds like at first, the first time you hear it, it sounds as though you're talking about, have you sacrificed enough, or have you paid the price enough that other veterans have paid? So we obviously regard the men and women who gave their lives for our freedom, we regard them at the highest because they did give it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you ask if you're veteran enough, to me, I hear, did you pay enough of the price that they paid? Did you pay enough to feel as though you gave enough? And so that's kind of what comes to my mind anyways.
Okay. And I agree with you completely. Something that has always stood out to me, have you ever went to tell somebody a story about your deployment, and then because of either their veteran status or non-veteran status, it changed the way that you told the story, maybe your level of excitement, your level of detail, even, you know, we're all guilty of a little embellishment, right? So, like, maybe even your embellishment level, right, with another veteran, you might be like, well, I might not try to tell as much of the story because they could poke holes in my story or call me on it.
Well, and I know if you tell it to someone not in the military, like, where they don't know what you're talking about, it maybe sounds more dangerous and mm-hmm. more heroic just to tell them, like, the practical side of it because they don't know. But you're right. If I'm telling you my story, I know that you've been where I was, mm-hmm. and so it's... and I'm less likely to think you're going to be impressed by it as well.
And I think that's a problem, right? I think that is a clear issue that we as veterans need to not look at, let's poke holes in each other's stories and let's see who's the veteran enough. By all means, like, we don't want someone out there doing stolen valor or anything like that. But at the end of the day, and we'll talk more through this as we work through this segment, but we have to support each other. And we should never second guess whether or not one of our brother veterans or brother or sister veterans is going to call us on being a fraud, right? Or gonna look down on us.
Yeah, and Matt, I have to interrupt you here because it just came to my mind. I have a friend, and I won't say his name because I don't know that he would want me to, but a childhood friend of mine joined the Army out of high school. He's about 4 years older than me. And just a quick backstory, if I can, on this guy.
Mm-hmm. By all means.
He had it rough growing up, had a rough childhood, and was just he's just a tough kid. I mean, he had to go through a lot. He had some anger problems, and as far as the way he was with adults, a lot of adults kind of wrote him off. But either way, he joined the Army out of high school, and I don't know his exact story of what got him there. I know that he ended up in Iraq somewhere between when he graduated and probably 2012. So I'm thinking 2009, 2012 area, probably about the same time you were there, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I know that what he did overseas, I know his story a little bit because he shared it with me, but the main point of what I'm telling you is that when I was overseas a few months ago, he reached out to me online and just was so supportive of what I was doing. And again, if you don't know, and I shared a little bit last week, but my experience deployment-wise was in Kuwait, I was in logistics, so I was moving cargo and passengers across the Middle East in military aircraft. So that was my job. And for that, to touch on the veteran enough thing, Matt, you know, I wasn't a combat troop. So for me, I'm always regarding combat troops as the guys who are really getting it done. And so this person I'm talking about, my friend, he was a combat troop. And so him coming to me and telling me that what I was doing was awesome and that I was that he was proud of me and that what I was doing was important. And that was the thing, is I kind of played it off as like, hey, man, you did the real stuff. I'm just here moving cargo. He said, no, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to, and that's very important, and we needed that. And that meant a lot to me to be able to hear that from a guy that I respected so much. And, Matt, that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better, Kyle. you know, there's a lot of differences between the branches, right? Like, Kyle and I will do a little word association here, a little fun with it. So, you know, if you're asking me as someone who's in the Army, we used to always refer to the Air Force as the Chair Force, right? That was the joke that we had. And I distinctly remember going on a mission into Central America, and we are there to pull security for engineers because I was an MP and that was my job, right? The engineers are building stuff, and we're at the same base with these Air Force guys. Well, I remember going to our tent and saying, wow, we have dirt floors and we have one power strip and some fans and it's really hot. We're in the jungle. And then I looked over at their tent and it was on a raised platform and had wooden floors, had air conditioning. And I remember talking to one of the Air Force guys at the chow tent, and he said, yeah, man, at least we're getting substandard living pay. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, we get a substandard living pay when we have to live at an army post. Yeah. And I was like,
because
really? I was like, man, as much as I've always made fun of you guys, I must be doing this wrong because we're in the same place and you're getting paid more.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Army, we always have our rivalry with the Marines. You know, I always would say that we'd always say they eat crowns and joke like that. So no offense to any devil dogs out there. I respect y'all. But just a joke thing. The Navy, I don't even know that we would just joke about them all the time that, like, they only were there to give the Marines a ride to where they were going. Right. So, like, that was always our joke, too. But
Or that the fight is in the desert and they're on the ocean.
Right, right. Like,
yeah. Although, I mean, we see Navy guys.
Yeah.
They're clearly there.
Yeah.
We just, for some reason, make that joke.
To be fair, some of the coolest guys I ever saw in Iraq were Navy EOD guys who, like, had, like, combat, like, khaki shorts, which was really cool, and they were just like afraid of no explosive in the world, and they would just take on any bomb they could find, and super cool dudes.
Yeah,
but still, we always had to make fun of them.
Yeah, well, and you know, I not to get too deep here, but I mean, every joke stems from some sort of ego thing, right? It's from a place of insecurity to a degree.
Right.
So, like, we all like to put the other branches down so we can feel like we made the right choice out of high school.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the thing to think about, too, is, though, like, in your family, if you have siblings, there's always that sibling rivalry, right? That, like, I'm the best. I'm doing the best. No, I'm doing the best. Well, that's what we have with the military, right? Yeah. We are all truly brothers and sisters, and as much as we want to pick on each other, only we get to pick on each other.
Yeah, like, and I think that just like brothers and sisters, you know, picking is essential. Like, it's part of who we are.
Yeah.
And I think what we're seeing here, guys, is that the line is drawn at this mental health issue. I think that that's when we're talking about brothers and sisters that we're losing to suicide. That's kind of where we change the argument or change the conversation from like gentle harassment to, well, you know what, this guy or girl needs to hear that we're on the same team more now than they ever did when they were in uniform.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, while we want to rib each other and, you know, give each other a hard time, we all are part of the same team. We're all brothers and sisters, truly, and we have to work together to keep our brothers and sisters alive, because we are stronger together than we are apart, by all means. And, you know, in the difference, too, there's so many different jobs you can do in the military. Kyle and I have kind of covered this, right? Like, I mean, I was an MP, and my job was not a combat job. I was a combat support MP, so at the end of the day, you know, the combat MOSs, the combat jobs lead the way, right? That's the tip of the spear.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone kind of has that weird feeling of like, well, I'm not quite, and the Army would say quite hua enough or quite tough enough, right? We're not quite big and bad enough. I'm not infantry. I'm not a ranger. I'm not SF. I'm not any of those things. So I'm not quite that. But that doesn't change the fact that we served, right? And to your point, like, your job is just as important as anyone else's. And I've told you this 100 times, like, you'd be like, Matt, the things you did were so cool. And I'm like, well, we couldn't have done them if you guys wouldn't have got the stuff there, right? So, like, at the end of the day, the job doesn't matter. But I think it only matters to the person who's in it. There's not another member of the military who will look at someone and be like, oh, man, well, you're a piece of junk because you were a secretary.
Yeah.
But you know who's going to tell that person that they're a piece of junk? That clerk is going to tell themselves that, right? Yeah. Like, our own worst enemy in this is ourselves. And if you guys haven't realized that yet, take a look around. Talk to another veteran. We are yearning to help each other, but we are not trying to help ourselves. And to really help each other, we have to start with ourselves. We have to look inside and first say, hey, what I did was enough. Yeah. I did enough.
Right.
I did my part. And
because at the end of the day, we did what was asked of us, you know? And I don't know anyone that I deployed with that completely didn't answer the call in any way. Yeah, there were some people that worked harder than others, but we're all over there for whatever amount of time it is, and there's an element of danger for anybody that's there. We all understood that, or at least we tried to, but the point is, we went when we were told, and we left family and did the job. And so, like you're saying, Matt, regardless of what the specific career and the specific job was, there's nothing but support that we have for each other. It's that it's ourselves that we have to take it easy on. You know, we would never, like you said, we would never call somebody out or harass somebody for whatever their amount of service was. But we tend to do that to ourselves too much.
And something else I just want to talk about for a second. Many of us have heard this perception versus reality thing, right? Like, that's a common term that whether our drill sergeants, our parents, a teacher at some point in your life has told you that perception is reality. So if someone perceives that you're a jerk, well, you're a jerk. Mm-hmm. So, like, but I think we don't keep this in mind when we think about, well, so-and-so is just telling stories again, or so-and-so is really exaggerating their deployment story. Well, while maybe the situation may have not, if you would have been there, you maybe have perceived it not that scary, or it may not have shook you the way it shook them. Their perception of that situation was intense, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if that perception to them of that situation was life-threatening, was life-altering, that's their reality. Yeah. So, like, as much as we want to say, well, I was there at the same time in the same situation, and I don't have night terrors, and I don't have PTSD, that's you, right? We shouldn't look at it as a comparison of like, well, I made it through it and they didn't, or I handled it better than they did. I should look at it and say, hey, I don't have night terrors and I don't have PTSD from that interaction. How can I help my brother?
Yeah.
Instead of it being a who's tougher competition or I think they're faking it, let's not look at whether or not they're faking it. Let's look at how can we support them.
Mm.
Because on top, at any point, sure, you can go and say, hey, someone's exaggerating. Someone's just looking for a benefit. Someone's just trying to get the VA to pay them. We could find that, and you could poo-poo everybody for that if you really wanted to. But here's the thing, guys. That's not how we should support each other.
Yeah.
That's where that sibling rivalry needs to stop, and we need to be a supportive brother and sister and help them find their way through it the same way we found our way through it.
Right, because clearly there's something wrong here. Clearly, right. 20 to 22 a day means that somebody's not getting cared for regularly. They're not getting what they need. And so are we just going to continue to let our brothers and sisters fall, or are we going to try to step up and do something about it, you know? And I, you know, with my experience in ministry, I can tell you that there's never been someone to regret caring for somebody. And so if you're thinking about whether to reach out and help somebody that you know is struggling from whatever's gone on in their career or whatever they're dealing with in their life, and not just military, but anybody, there's never going to be a moment where you regret reaching out a hand to help that person. And as we look at the stats and how bad this epidemic is nationwide, we need to consider taking that step.
Absolutely. Something to really consider when we look at this stat, and we said this in the first episode, but I really want to take a poke at this, is that we don't have that many combat veterans for this to only be combat related, right? We don't have this many combat veterans to lose 20 to 22 a day nationwide. We'd run out of them eventually.
Right.
Even if you did it from every single war, and even if you just specify the war on terror, there's a ton of us who saw some form of combat, right? But still, yeah, we would run out. And that's the thing. Not every combat veteran is taking their life. There are veterans who've never deployed taking their life.
Right.
There are veterans who've deployed 100 times taking their life. So there's got to be something else contributing here. And part of it is, I think about this like leaving the institution, like an inmate leaving prison. We go into the military and we have structure. We know when to eat. We know when to run. We know when to do anything, right? Our bathroom breaks are planned. Everything is planned when you go into basic training. Mm-hmm. You go through that, whether you do reserve, guard, active duty, everything is regimented. If you go on a deployment and you're on active duty, everything has a time. There's a rank structure. There's structure to everything. And there's respect given simply for your rank. Mm-hmm. Because you wear on your chest or on your shoulders or on your collar what you've earned, right? And that's where your rank is given what you've earned. And we go through that world, and eventually, as much as we love it, we grow to hate it and love it at the same time. It's like a weird family relationship. And the time comes when we go to get out. And the question becomes, where do we rank in the civilian world? Where do we rank in the world when we take off our uniform?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to find where you belong, how you fit in. The military trains us for years to be exactly what they need us to be in combat, in our daily mission, to be the best part of that military. But where we fail on this, and this is where I think the church belongs in this, is we don't train anyone on how to transition out. So think about a prisoner getting out of prison. They don't know how to reiterate. I can't speak real English here. So reintegrate into society. They go through a halfway house, right? So something to think about. So we need to find a way that we can help our veterans come out of the military and get back into society. So, you know, we are just looking for ways to really involve the church. So something we did recently was we headed up to the airport when Kyle and his brother and some other Air Force veterans were coming back from a tour overseas, and we just welcomed them home. Kyle, do you want to tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, it was crazy because we come off the – well, before I even talk about getting off the plane, I'm texting Matt – you know, because I know Matt's organizing this, and I'm kind of texting him at each airport stop before we fly off, telling him, like, yeah, this is where we are. We'll be back probably about this time. And I come across the, when I'm leaving, getting off the plane in Charleston, where we landed, where our home is, I'm getting off the plane, and I walk through the terminal and turn the corner, and there's, like, literally over 100 people at this thing. And I just was like, I was amazed. And I think maybe actually my wife texted me and was like, there's a lot of people here. And I was like, whatever, you know, 20 people maybe. Yeah. And it was like probably a third of our church was there. And that was all because Matt organized it. But then I have my family. I got military people as well. And then like as high up as I know, officer wise, came because that's kind of standard for them. And I appreciated them being there. There was a one star there. And, you know, that means a lot that your officers know when you're coming back and everything. But even more impressive was the amount of church people that were there. And, again, the one star general even had to tell me he had never seen a welcome home quite like that before. So,
And, you know, a lot of people were giving me credit for that afterwards, but I'll be honest with you, like, I don't want credit for it. I want that to be the norm. I don't want that to be the exception. I want that to be how veterans come home, right? Like, sure, yeah, when a whole unit comes home, we try to set up a parade, when I, you know, and all those kind of things. But what about these guys who come back on a one-off tour, twos and threes and fours at a time? They were detached from their regular unit, went on another tour, came back. They slide in and out of our airports every single day, folks.
Yeah.
You know, what about the kid who's going to basic training for the first time? He's probably terrified going to the airport, right? What about someone coming home, right, from whether it be training, whether it be a tour, and there's just no one there to meet them, and they'll get an Uber, yeah, and they'll go to wherever.
Absolutely, and I mean, I am blessed in many ways, one of which is that my whole family is here where I come home to, but I mean, active duty guys, a lot of times they're going back to their base, right,
mm-hmm,
and they're not, that's not where family is.
Right.
And maybe their family makes it there, but maybe they don't. And Matt, you think about the guys that came back all the way from back in Vietnam, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but we've heard the stories of how they were treated, and we know that it wasn't right. And you think about how that's coming back, how that can set up for good or for bad how you feel as though you're treated by your country for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the veterans in Vietnam, I mean, they still, a lot of them still don't feel like they've been welcomed home. And that's why, you know, you always talk about if you run into one, you'll tell them welcome home.
Yeah.
And, you know, my experience was great. And I'm not complaining here at all. I wanted to just throw this out there. We had a couple experiences at the first airport that we landed at, the first American soil we touched, where, granted, they're used at Baltimore, they're used to military coming in and out from deployments, but we had a couple run-ins with people that were just like kind of disrespectful, kind of rude, and nothing that we really were worried about, but it reminded me of what it must have felt like for those guys from Vietnam to feel that intentionally all over, and that it just felt like, why did we even come back here? It must have felt horrible to not feel welcomed. And then I turn around and go to Charleston, and I got this, you know, party, this whole block party thrown for us, and it's a big deal, and it doesn't, you know, it's not going to fix everything that happened that maybe damaged you in some way during combat, but the point is that you know right away from the welcome home that you're cared for, and that there's people that know that you've been through something, and they're ready to reach out.
Absolutely. And the message that we want to give at this segment, folks, is that, you know, if you're a part of a church, if you're not part of a church, if you're just a part of a community where you have a lot of veterans coming in and out, and how you can find that out, it's simple, right? Pay attention, look on social media, pay attention to the news, talk to a recruiter if you want to know. They can get you that kind of information. But here's the thing. How we did this was simple. We made connections with who we knew was going. When they went to leave, we made sure that we were there to send them off. We prayed for them before they left on their journey, and we were there to welcome them home. And we prayed and thanked God for bringing them back.
Yeah.
If anything, it made these guys know that they had a home here and they had a place that they could come to. You know, we didn't set them down and have a counseling session. We didn't try and stop them from going to be with their family. We just simply wanted them to know that we loved them, we cared for them, and we were here for them.
Yeah.
And that's something that we can all simply do, right? That's something that doesn't take a huge community organizer, because at the end of the day, everyone loves our troops, right? So, well, most people. So it doesn't take much to get people bought in, though. So
yeah,
I challenge churches to really look in your community. We'd be happy to set up time to talk to you guys about what we've started.
Right.
But think about it. Think about how you can have an impact on the veterans around you. And even if it's not guys that you've served with, if you can't help the ones that you are with, how can you help the next generation?
Yeah, and if you're wondering where to start, just a quick crash course for a minute. I wouldn't call it a crash course. Two sentences about ministry that I've learned that maybe can help if you're wondering, how do I reach out to a veteran, whether you are one or whether you're not, or if you know somebody that is and you want to help. I would say this, like I said before, you're never going to regret caring for somebody, but I would say just being there and just being present at wherever these veterans are for those moments. You don't have to say a lot. You don't have to, like Matt said, they were just there. And the amount of people that were there, and that we just had people that weren't directly tied to me or my brother or whoever else was with me, just having people show up was a big gesture of love and just care. So if you're not sure what to do, just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you're a believer and if you're a believer in Christ and you think, you know, you've been praying and you have been caring for people in that way, maybe there's room for him to do something there. But either way, just being there is gonna send a good message.
Absolutely. Now, as we work through this segment, guys, I think the one thing that we want to just be clear about here is the only person who does not think that you are veteran enough in anything that you do is you. It is you, your own worst enemy. The person who attacks everything you do, tears down every step forward you take is you. That is something that is in all of our minds. I fight my demons every single day when I get up. I feel I'm not doing enough. I haven't accomplished enough. I struggled so much when I came back and went to college, right? So I was in college, left to go on my deployment, came back, had to go back to graduate from WVU, go Mountaineers. But it's contractually obligated that you have to say that, if you guys didn't know.
Horns down.
Oh, yeah, horns down for sure. Sorry if there's any fans in Texas. We still love you guys, too. But in all seriousness, coming back from a deployment and going to school, and Kyle's brother is going through this right now, you get this different view of the world, right? And you think you know everything, and you've seen the real world. And you come back to a college campus, which are very, very liberal, not meaning this politically, but just in general, right? Everyone's views are a little bit different there. And you have a different kind of worldview, right? You've seen how the world works. You've seen what you feel is the real world, and you have real life experience. Mm-hmm. And you have to get back into this culture in this place where you kind of feel like a stranger in a strange land where you don't belong anymore. And it was maybe a university you were at for years. And that was a big struggle to come back into. So I would doubt my abilities every day. I would doubt if I was doing the right thing every day. Mm-hmm. I would doubt if I belonged there because, you know what, maybe I should just go get a job and move on and not finish college. And I know that I'm not the only veteran who's felt that, but I've doubted myself in so many other ways. I came out of college and I started working for Target and Assets Protection. And I don't know how many times I'd stop a shoplifter and I would think, man, here I am. I went from defending freedom and, you know, like running whole provinces in Iraq to I just stopped a shoplifter for some toilet paper, right? Like, or, you know, and like, I wasn't that mean. If someone really needed some toilet paper, you know, I'd let them go to the bathroom or whatever. But
But you weren't going to let them steal it.
Right, right. Now, they had to pay me for it first. So, in all seriousness, though, it's hard to find where you feel like you contribute, and it's hard to feel like you contribute after you're done. So, hey,
well, maybe you were going to get to this, but I'm going to interrupt you anyways. For someone who's in that spot right now,
right,
they've deployed, and now they're working a job that to them is like, this isn't what I was doing. This isn't on the level of whatever it was that I was, you know, because I think when we serve in the military, the sense of pride is in the brother and sisterhood, but it's also, we represent our country, and mm-hmm. it's a big country, and it's the most powerful country in the world, America. And so, and so, like, are we,
also
we're proud of that.
Contractually obligated to say America when you say most powerful country.
Well, if you don't, then
you're not American.
That's right. And so you wear that uniform and you're a part of something and you represent everyone back home that doesn't know or care or whatever. But so now that you're working a job that's not that, and like you were in that spot, and we all have to deal with that to a degree, what would be your advice, you know, to give somebody who's feeling that really bad right now?
Absolutely. I think the first thing to do is to find something outside of your work that matters. Find a way that you can contribute. And for me, I talk about, you know, I started coming to church and I was still like just dipping my toe in the water. And I still give so much credit to Elliot, our previous youth pastor, for just identifying. I don't know what he identified in me, but he probably saw that I needed help. I feel like it was written on me, maybe. But he saw a way that I could contribute. And I swear to you that first year I coached basketball, those kids helped me far more than I ever helped them, because I was not a good basketball mind. So like it was. It was just an opportunity to show that I could have value outside of my job and that I could help develop somebody again.
Right.
And that was huge to me. And it helped me to realize that I had worth outside of what I did previously.
Right.
So by all means, my worth then opened up to the worth I have in Christ. But I'm not telling you that if you're at that point that you just need to go and be like, boom, I'm saved and I'm worthy now. What I'm telling you is to find a way to contribute in a, something that fulfills you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but I think I know where your heart is. And
yeah,
I think it's that, you know, Jesus gives us opportunities through the church to do exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I'm a full-time youth minister, and I get that out of my job every day. And I don't, I'm not saying that romantically, or I'm not saying that to exaggerate. I mean, I personally never have to deal with that on the level that, that you had to go through, Matt, because I've just been blessed to be able to have a job that allows me to serve in this way. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect at it, don't have bad days. It just, I'm just thankful and I'm lucky, you know, because my job was able to be that exact thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not all going to get that, because we're not all supposed to be pastors or whatever. But the good news is like, there's so many opportunities if you look around, and churches just happen to be one of the best places, because they're almost all run by almost all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing, because I think that gives us all a way, just like for you, Matt, to be able to plug in when you needed it the most. And it almost every time we benefit more than the people we're working with, the people we're serving.
Right. Absolutely. So think about it, guys. The place to find your worth is not going to be in the uniform anymore. When you take off your uniform, you take off the rank, right? Like, if you've ever used USAA, and they're not a paid sponsor, so USAA, if you're listening and you'd like to sponsor us, by all means, we'll gladly throw you out a little more often. But I use them for different insurance and just things.
If they lower my auto payment.
Oh, man, that'd be great. That'd be a fair trade. But when they call, they still call me Sergeant Childers, and I always take a little joy in that when they call. So
you want me to call you that?
No, that's fine. It's more because it's like private. No one knows it when they call. So I really enjoy that. But it's one of those things that when we take off the uniform, we lose that status, we lose that rank, and we have to challenge ourselves to find our worth again, right? And, you know, I've found my worth here serving my brothers and sisters and this church. And it's not just this church, but church.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus has given me this outlet to really reach out to try and share that good news, right? Share the message that I don't need to see any of my other brothers and sisters go by their own hands, because I know where there's a place where you have a chance to grow and to be safe and to be welcomed. And I'm just trying to spread that message. And I feel like that's where, you know, I'll never be a minister. I'll never be a pastor, right?
Don't,
like,
say never, man.
Well, I just don't know that.
Yeah, no.
I've got a long way to go before I'm ever any of those things. But if I spend the rest of my life talking into this microphone and trying to keep someone from ever feeling as low as I did at some points in my life after the military, then I'll be doing all right in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, so as we kind of wrap up here, we just want to encourage you with this verse, 1 Peter 5:7. It just says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And why we want to say that to you today is we want to remind you that God doesn't just love you and want you to just act out all the commands that he has. He does want that. But the encouraging thing is that he also wants you to give him those things that burden you. He wants you to let go of those things, give those to Christ. And then you can now be free to go do other things for him. So if right now, if you're carrying that weight, whether it's a shame or it's a burden or it's just an anxiety of what you've gone through, or if it's like we talked today, if it's feeling that you're not veteran enough or that you didn't do something that you should have done and you're carrying that with you, we just want to encourage you with the scripture that give that to him, cast it to Jesus, and because he cares for you, he's going to take that from you. And that'll open you up in a way to do things that you never thought was possible.
Oh, that's great. Guys, we just want to thank you again for this opportunity, for just listening to us, for helping us to spread this message. Just as a reminder, we are available on Anchor, Google, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, basically any kind of podcasting app. We're there, and that's all because Anchor's been killing it for us. So thank you to Anchor again. Please share, subscribe. If there's someone in your life that you think needs to hear this, just grab the link and send it to them. We would love that. If you have any feedback for us, if you have any ideas, please join us, let us know. We'd love to have some guests on the show with us. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook, Lighthouse Veterans Ministry. Hit us up on Gmail, lighthouseveterans@gmail.com. And always, guys, the VA crisis line is 800-273-8255. Again, the VA crisis line is 800-273-8255. Like we talked about today, please don't hesitate to reach out. You don't have to be so strong to not need help. We all need help sometimes. So please, don't forget that. And lastly, we just want to remind you that you are not alone. We stand with you. We stand beside you. So, God bless. Have a great day.
See you next time. An American flag, and I don't like to fight, but you know I can. I got a nasty scar.